The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. So we've been taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. And we've got two interesting questions today. One is about the nature of falling away from the faith and some of the consequences of that. And the other, which is very interesting to me, is this: when will every knee bow and every tongue confess? Well, as you can guess, this is going to be an interesting conversation with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up very soon. You can find out all you need to know about it by going to faithalone.org. Click on events. You can even register right there. Well, let's go to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, everybody, this is Sean.
Hi, this is Bob.
We're glad to be back with you guys. You know, if you ever want to meet us in person, it's possible.
Are we going to be at a supermarket opening or something?
We're opening the latest HEBs. Apparently, that's a very popular grocery store in the south of Texas, but yeah. I heard that they're coming up here. Why aren't they in Dallas already?
I don't know.
Maybe they are, but I get a kick out of how excited people get over this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. My father and my brother got to meet David Hasselhoff and Kit. Do you remember Kit, the car that he drove in Knight Rider. That would talk? He was opening up Toys R Us in my hometown in Montreal, Pointe Claire, and he was coming. Toys R Us was a big deal. Does that even exist anymore, or did Toys R Us close? I think it might have closed.
I don't know.
And then David Hasselhoff was there, opening up Toys R Us. So probably a low point in his career, but a high point in my brother's childhood. What are we doing? Okay, we're taking questions. Oh, yeah, sorry. I was saying, if you want to meet us in person, you should come to the National Conference. The National Conference.
Where is that?
It's going to be held here in Denton at a camp called Camp Copus. It's a beautiful setting on Lake Louisville, this enormous camp. There's a hotel. There's a motel that we're going to be staying in. There's some RV hookups, although those are filling up fast. And we're going to have VBS for the kids, and it looks like we already have maybe 20-something kids coming. That number is growing, so it's going to be family-friendly. And if you want to come for just a conference where you can just hang out with other Grace believers and hear good teaching on the last day's judgments, which sounds scary, but there's positive aspects to the last day's judgments. I mean, there's the negative kind of scary stuff. There's also kind of good evaluations. There's positive aspects to it, too.
Right. The judgment seat of Christ and the rewards that the Lord will give out. And, of course, you know, in the eternal kingdom, there's going to be special rewards for the overcomers.
Right. And so if that's coming up in May, near the third week in May? May
23 to 26.
23 to 26. So sign up at faithalone.org. Come meet us in person. And speaking of rewards and judgments, here's a question from Chris about that. He says, thanks for the good work on your YouTube channel. It's a great resource for quick topical videos and important matters of doctrine. You're welcome, Chris. We enjoy doing those, and we're going to be doing more of those. Here's his question. I do have a question. In your video, what can you lose if you don't continue in the faith? You have an excellent breakdown on the matter concerning the judgment seat of Christ and whether we go to rule and reign with him. My question is, if someone falls away for a time, but then returns to the faith, do you believe that having fallen away for a time permanently disqualifies that believer from ruling or reigning with Christ? Do you think instead that it's really a matter of whether or not you die in the faith? Are there clear scriptural answers for this issue? So what do you do with the person who has fallen away for a time and then comes back, who has maybe apostatized for a time, but then comes back? Are they permanently kind of ruled out of ruling with Christ?
That's a great question. And the answer would be no. And one example of that, it seems to me, is the prodigal son in Luke 15, where he goes away to the far country. He squanders his inheritance, but then he comes back and his father gives him a robe and a ring and sandals. And he welcomes him back, not just as a servant, but as his son, which suggests he can lay up a new inheritance. And there are a number of verses. For example, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Well, that means at the end of our lives, we're enduring. It doesn't mean we've never had a failure, like Peter denied Jesus three times.
Yeah.
And yet we know Peter's going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel.
That might be maybe the clearest example.
Yeah.
Peter denied Jesus. Some people might ask, well, do you, if you've ever denied him, because, you know, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. That seems to be a rewards passage. Well, Peter denied Jesus explicitly.
Right.
Generations of Christians have read about how he denied him, not just once, not just twice, but three times. But Jesus did say, yeah, you're going to be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. So how does that work? I mean, do you have to die in denial? Or, I mean, why does Peter get to come back from that?
Right. Well, if someone were to, at the end of their life, be someone who was denying Christ, then they would miss out on ruling with Christ. 2 Timothy 2:12 is actually an explanation, many think, of Matthew 10:32 and 33. He who confesses me before men, him will I confess before the Father. He who denies me before men, him will I deny before the Father. And the second half of 2 Timothy 2:12 is, if we deny him, he will also deny us.
Okay.
So that means a continuation of denial. But how about this? John Mark. Remember the story of John Mark?
Yeah.
On Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey, John Mark is a co-worker.
Mark is like Barnabas's nephew or something,
I think,
right?
cousin or something. He might be nephew, but he's related.
He's a young guy. He gets into a fight with Paul. There's some disagreement there.
Well, what happens is he departs during the first missionary journey without permission. He just leaves and leaves them hanging. And so when it comes to the second missionary journey, Barnabas wants to take John Mark.
Paul is like,
and
no
Paul's
way.
Absolutely
this
not.
This guy's not dependable.
So they end up and separate, and Paul takes Timothy and also Silas, and Barnabas goes off with John Mark and others. And so now they have separate ministries.
Yeah.
But toward the end of Paul's life, he mentions John Mark in the ending of one of his epistles as someone who is very dear to him.
Right. So they reconciled somewhere along the way.
But it seems to me John Mark is kind of an illustration of someone who possibly fell away to a certain point, at least left the work.
Yeah.
And then later was highly regarded. And so, yeah, the scriptures are clear that we need to endure, not that we never have any falling. And I would also cite Revelation 2:26, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end.
Right.
Well, it's all about where we are at the end. Now, of course, the whole time the person falls away, that whole time they're away from the Lord, they're not laying up any treasure, and they're not laying up any cities to rule over, anything like that.
Right.
And so they lose a lot by being in the far country, but they don't totally forfeit the possibility of rulership.
Right. All right, next question. This is from Guillermo. His question is based on a couple of verses, Revelation 5:13, Philippians 2:10 and 11. And I'm thinking of a third verse that he doesn't mention, but I think is a part of this, maybe Romans 10. He says, hi, Bob, Sean. Assuming the verses above are linked and related, when will every knee bow and confess Jesus as Lord? Will it be right after the rapture occurs, or what point in time after the rapture and tribulation?
I think Philippians 2:12 says every knee should bow. Some translations, every knee may bow. Uh-huh. Some translations, every knee will bow.
Yeah.
It's a subjunctive, and it could be translated any of those ways.
Right.
Most commentators think
it's a subjunctive. It's conditional.
Conditional, yeah.
It's not a prediction of what will happen. It's
but sometimes a subjunctive can have the force of an imperative.
Okay.
Or at least a statement
like,
of
you
fact.
You should do this.
You should do this.
You should clean your room.
So that's why some translated every knee should bow.
Yeah.
But it also could have the force of simply something that's going to occur, every knee will bow. And most commentators say that this refers ultimately to the end of the age.
Okay.
It's not talking about in this life. If you believe in a separate judgment seat of Christ and great white throne judgment, you'd say believers are going to bow the knee at the judgment seat of Christ. Unbelievers will bow the knee at the great white throne judgment 1,000 years later.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Revelation 5:13 is talking about exactly the same thing. Why don't you read that
one? Yeah. This is part of, a vision that John has. It's part of the scrolls, and they're looking for someone who's going to be worthy to open these scrolls in verse 8. There's these creatures, I guess. Is it these 24 elders, I guess?
Well, that's in verse 14.
I'm thinking about verse 8 and the situation that they're all in. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb.
I would say those are angels, both.
Right? Each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. They're singing this song, and in verse 13, it says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever."
That obviously is not talking about what will take place on earth during the tribulation. We're not going to have every unbeliever on earth saying that. But I read one commentator who said that this anticipates the end of the age.
So this looks
forward to what will happen
at
the end of the age. But even having said that, I don't think unbelievers at the great white throne judgment are going to say, "Blessed and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." I don't see any indication in Revelation 20, 11 to 15, that's going to occur.
So like in Revelation 5, I guess I'm confused about the chronology because the scroll judgments happen kind of at the beginning of the tribulation. But is he kind of seeing, is he foreshadowing like the victory that'll come at the end of the tribulation? Or is this something that's happening?
I think so. It anticipates, I think is the right word, what's to come. And not everybody on earth is going to be saying this, not during the tribulation.
Okay.
But they might be connected. Some commentators do see the two passages as connected.
Okay. Well, there you go, Guillermo and Chris. Thanks for your questions. Good, thoughtful questions. Keep on watching our stuff on YouTube. Keep on listening to the podcast. And if we're encouraging you, causing you to think about the Bible, send us a little note saying so. radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to talk about what happens to the old nature after salvation. So join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.